Good morning and welcome to Shakedown Shan. And now the host of our show, Shannon Murphy.
Hey guys, welcome back. A lot going on, not too much, but a lot in terms of importance, I guess you'd say. So recently we had the vice presidential debate. You watched that, right?
Yes, parts of it. Yeah, I did. Sometimes I get
upset. Yeah, I felt like it was kind of boring.
Yeah, and I get upset when it doesn't go the, you know, not the goes the way I want, but when they start saying crazy stuff, you know, and I can't watch it with my wife because she sends me downstairs. She doesn't want to hear about it. So, so, but I think it was better than the first presidential debate.
Yeah, in terms of debate etiquette.
Yeah.
It was better, but I mean, neither of them really answered any questions still, which is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I kind of think that, I mean, from my perspective, I mean, you know what slant I have, but it looked like to me that whenever Kamala was through answering her questions, that the vice president had to spend probably a minute and a half of his 2 minutes refuting what she said, you know, trying to give the facts of what she said. So he only had 30 seconds to answer the question that she posed, the moderator posed to him. And I know people said right. that he spoke more than she did, but I mean, that, you know, they kept track of the time, and she had 2 seconds more than he did. So, I mean, it was relatively the same amount of time that they spoke, you know.
Right. I felt like Pence really missed a lot of good opportunities to peg her on inconsistencies, and that would have helped the Trump campaign a lot more if he attacked her like Tulsi Gabbard did.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they were saying.
I feel like Trump's campaign misses a lot of opportunity. And then Biden's campaign tries to hit opportunities, but they're not actual like opportunities, and they end up just failing at that. So I feel like I should be a campaign manager for them because they're all missing just,
you know, I feel the same way. No, you're right. I feel the same way, though. They should be bringing things up. Like, I mean, I don't see why he didn't bring up, you know, her past, like they did in her record, like they did in the debates of, you know, when they were running for president. They could have taken some really good talking points, like you said, from Tulsi and some of the other candidates that were really good points that they mm-hmm. made against her, but they just didn't do it, you know. And I don't understand why. I mean, the object is to win the debate,
uh-huh.
not just to hold your own.
And then Pence spent a lot of time like thanking for the question and stuff, just like a lot of empty talking and like buying time, not buying time, but just wasting time.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't have any like good debaters out there right now.
No, you're right.
Which is unfortunate.
You're right. And you know, I of course, didn't get it until after the debate, but you know, her history lesson on Lincoln was like totally off the wall. It wasn't even mm-hmm. right. And it's very hard to refute things like that during a debate on both sides, you know what I mean? But you know, and the only thing that really gets me, and I was thinking about it on the ride over here, is that when a candidate refuses to answer a question, like packing the court, let's say, when they refuse to answer the question, to me, that means that they're going to do what the question asks. And by saying no, you know, no, I'm not going to answer it. well, that's kind of a crazy thing to say.
Right.
I mean, you know if you are and you know if you're not. And Biden said that he wouldn't do it, but now, and Harris said that she'd be open to doing it. So they have to have some sort of an answer, but he won't give it until the day after the election. Well, that's, to me, kind of like, why are you evading that, you know?
Right. I mean, that's what politicians do best, I guess.
Yeah, they do.
But
it's just, I can't wait till it's over. I really can't.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of people were more concerned about the fly.
Oh, I know. Really.
Than really what was said. But, I mean, when there wasn't really much said, I guess it's the only thing to really be concerned about.
I know. Yeah, I guess. Well, one of the, I think it was either CNN or MSNBC guests said that, that Pence is a demon because flies always go around demons. And by the fly buzzing around the set and it landed on Pence instead of Harris, that's an indication that Pence is a demon. You got these people on TV saying the dumbest things, you know? I mean, I don't know how anybody can take what the news says seriously anymore. I mean, even the mainstream, they don't give you both sides of the issues anymore.
No, they don't.
Very frustrating. So
that really was all out of the VP debate that I took. I didn't take anything like major away from it, like the presidential one. But I felt like most other people felt the same.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the consensus across like Facebook and Twitter and stuff.
Right. But you know, I mean, I think in a way you could take more away from this one than the presidential debate because, you know, they didn't stand there calling each other names and miss. I think Trump's biggest mistake during the first debate and his handlers are telling him if, you know, when you have the second debate, just stop talking, let him talk, because he's going to bury himself and let him do it. But that's hard. That's hard for him to do. You know, it's hard for him not to keep rattling. But where this one, the vice presidential debate, I think you had more talking, and I think, of course, it's going to rev up. Harris is going to rev up her base, even if she's not correct in some things. And Pence is going to rev up his base if he's not correct on a lot of things. I don't think there were, you know, like COVID. I think if I was making a political commercial on COVID for the Republican side, because basically the election's about two things, COVID and the economy. And there was like 59% said that they trust Trump with the economy, and Biden had the win in the COVID. So if I was the Republicans making a political ad, I would go back and take, start it out saying, this is how Joe Biden would have handled the COVID. And I would have gone back to the day in the beginning when Trump closed the border, and then insert where Biden said he was a racist by doing that. And then show where Nancy Pelosi in the middle of February took a small busload of people into Chinatown to celebrate Chinese New Year to support businesses during the pandemic. That was when the pandemic started really gearing up. I don't know why they don't do that. I mean, those right there, those are things that are facts, and they could use, again, they need things against the COVID, let's face it. And they don't do that. I don't know why.
No, I don't know. It seems like nobody really wants to win, honestly.
You're right.
Because they're just missing queer opportunities. Either that or they're really just not seeing them, and they don't know how.
Yeah, but look at all the people they have on their advisory teams. I mean, these people should be smart about things. And who do you contact about doing something like that? Like, who do you call for your idea to get through, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we only have, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, speaking of Pelosi, did you see that? I just am seeing this right now. She is revealing a bill that would give Congress power in removing presidents.
Yep.
With the 25th Amendment. We talked about that a little bit last time.
Well, what do you feel about that? How do you feel about that?
I feel like, you know, Pelosi obviously doesn't want Trump in office, but she also doesn't want Biden in office.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, we have the 25th Amendment. And if a president is, you know, that bad, it'll go through the process and he'll be removed. I mean, I have no doubt about that. But I think she wants to do it more for Biden than for Trump.
I think the Democrats want Kamala as president. And I feel like if Trump wins, they're going to try to use this on him. And if Biden wins, they're going to use it on him.
Yeah, because if he wins the election, let's face it, they're going to then say that his mind's getting faulty if he starts making all these gaffes. And then they'll just start invoking. I mean, the guy's 78. The guy's going to start missing things when he has to give speeches all over the place. And they'll just invoke that and get Harris in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think Biden really, I guess, not supports, but what's the word for it? I'm losing it.
That's okay. I can understand why.
Biden doesn't represent the Democratic platform that they're trying to push, really.
No, he doesn't.
The only thing he's got going for him is that he was Obama's VP.
Exactly.
You ever notice that? He always just talks about his time with the Obama administration. He didn't really do much, though.
No, he didn't. And he didn't do much when he was a senator, and that's why he doesn't rely on his senator term, you know, the 47 years. But, no, you're right. Biden, I just don't think has it. I think he was probably... I don't know. I kind of feel that he won the primary, and after he did, they were just plotting to get him elected so they could get rid of him. Let's face it.
Yeah, that's what I think, honestly.
And you were right. I mean, when he said that he is the Democratic Party, he is not the Democratic Party, and I don't understand why he doesn't realize that.
No, he's like the kid that just keeps hanging around the group of friends that nobody really likes, but he's convinced that they all love him.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if he gets in, they're going to take over. I mean, it's going to be terrible. I just feel that no matter one of the voters that they had on one of the shows, you know, how they had like Democrats, Republican, and Independents. And they had a Democrat that, excuse me, said that he was going to vote for Trump, which was a surprise because they picked him because he was a Democrat. But he said the reason why is that I look at the tweets that he does and how when he gives his speeches, he, you know, goes on and on. But he says, I look for the person that did the most for the country or who I think is going to do the best. And he says, Trump's record before a pandemic was unreal. More people were working. The economy was doing great. We were getting more jobs back from overseas. And he said, that's what means more to me. And you know, in a way you look at that and it's correct, I think.
I think what people are looking for right now, especially right now, is somebody who's not afraid to lead. And when you look at Trump or Biden, obviously Trump seems more like a leader to people because of how loud he is, and he's not afraid to just say things and or do things. So, but Biden kind of just beats around the bush on things. He's not very loud. He's not inspiring to people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, I know a lot of people are disappointed with that, with him being the pick because of that. But I don't know. It's hard to tell because it seems like, I was telling you earlier, the ball just keeps changing courts. I mean, I'll be one day thinking, oh, Trump's got this in the bag. The Democrats just, like, ruin themselves with whatever silly thing they just said. And then Trump goes and says something silly, and I'm like, oh, man, now it's back to Biden.
You're right.
It's just so hard to tell. Although I honestly think Trump will win. But if I'm, like, looking at what each of them are doing, it's hard to tell because of, I don't know, people keep swaying both ways, and it's interesting, definitely. Yeah.
Well, I hope if, and I think Trump's going to win myself, but if he doesn't, I hope the Senate still stays Republican. I mean, if all three branches are Democrat, I don't think that's good. I think you need a check somewhere along the line.
So, if Biden wins, mm-hmm. I hope that they do not take him out and put Kamala in, because that will be scary.
Oh, yeah. It will be. Well, you know, and I honestly think that we're going to have big problems after the election, no matter who wins. I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. We're going to see a lot of scary stuff.
Oh, you bet. I mean, it's especially, you know, we keep reading about mail-in votes, and every other day there's a story about 50,000 ballots were mailed out to the wrong people in Ohio. 100,000 ballots were mailed to the wrong people in Brooklyn. They found a bag of ballots in a creek, and they caught the post delivery person that did it, supposedly did it. I mean, I don't know. I think we opened ourselves up to so much trouble because of people being afraid of going to the polls, which, you know, if the statement someone made was, if you can go to the grocery store, you can go to Walmart, you can go to Costco, and self-distance 6 feet, you can go in the ballot box. I mean, you can stay six right. feet apart, wear your mask, and go to the ballot and vote in person. I just don't understand why this is making a mess, I'll tell you. And that's why I think there's going to be a lot of problems, because there won't be a winner the day after the election, and maybe not the week after the election.
So last time we were talking, you had mentioned that the media was saying about Trump having COVID, that some people think that he doesn't have it and that he's faking it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, huh, that's an interesting take that I never thought of. So I've been thinking about it, and I have reason to believe that he is not faking it, and I also have reason to believe that he might be. So I wanted to just talk about that real quick. So I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, okay, him having COVID really helps his campaign, right? Because if he does really bad, if he didn't recover good, if it didn't go well, he would get a lot of sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does recover fast, which he has been, and he's been doing okay, you know, that makes the case for all of this nonsense going on look bad and make him look good for not wanting to have done all that and saying that this is no big deal. So either way, if it went good or bad for him, it helps his case. It helps his numbers. So why wouldn't they, if they're trying to win, like, why wouldn't they think of that and then just get other people to go along with it? That's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. But then and a reason why I don't think he's faking it is because I don't know if you heard about Kellyanne Conway's daughter, Claudia.
Yeah.
She's very, very sick right now with COVID. She's just, her case seems so real and convincing, and she's not a Trump supporter at all. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, he must have COVID and have given it to people if she's this sick. But I thought that was an interesting thing to think of. But at the same time, it's coming out of the, you know, left-wing media, and I just don't understand how they wouldn't ever think anything fishy coming out of the left when it does.
Right.
They're so quick to be like, oh, well, he could be faking this and using it for his own advantage. But, you know, anytime that someone's doing something like that over on their side, it's, how dare you? How could you think that or say that? So it's just, it's funny. But well, I'm kind of mad that I didn't think of it myself.
Yeah, really. But, you know, Chris Christie had tested positive. Now, if anybody, he was in the hospital for a little over a week. He went in the day after Trump did, I think, in New Jersey. And if anybody was going to get it bad, it would be him. He's overweight. He's got asthma. But they gave him that remdesivir or whatever it is. Excuse me. And he came out. He got out of the hospital yesterday. And Kelly McEnany, she tested positive, and she's been doing releases from her home. And she said she doesn't feel bad. There's nothing wrong with her. She doesn't have a fever. She doesn't have the sniffles, no hard breathing. And when you listen to, of course, you got to listen to not the mainstream media, but there's doctors that make the point that 99.99 of the people that test positive for COVID recover with no problems.
Right.
So when they say that, oh my gosh, look at what the president's done. 10 million people have tested positive for COVID, and we have 210,000 people dead. Well, you know, I mean, it is bad that many is dead, but when you look at the total against how many people in the U.S. and then the total of how many people tested positive and recovered with no problems, I mean, I don't know. It just, I mean, I'm not justifying 210 or 220,000 people dead, and most of those had underlying conditions. A lot of them were in nursing homes. A lot of them were older.
A lot of it had to do with the nursing home.
Yeah, and a lot of it.
Especially in New York.
Exactly. Well, New York and the state of Washington. And and a lot of people had, you know, they were in bad shape to begin with. So, if they caught pneumonia, they would have died. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a bad virus, but when you look at the amount of people that tested positive, I mean, I had a COVID test Saturday because I've got bronchitis, and my doctor put me on antibiotics, which are really working well, but she said, I want you to have a COVID test. So I went up Saturday, and I just got my result today, and it was negative. But so I'm another a case that was tested, you know what I mean? So I'll be in that, you know, amount that's, the more we test, the more positives you're going to get, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be, you're going to be in the hospital and or a chance to die.
Right. And I mean, honestly, the more people that get COVID and are okay from it, the better, because then your chances of having it again are almost zero, as far as we know.
Right.
And, I mean, I just, that's how you build immunity, and that's what you have to do. You can't just keep locking stuff down to it, and it's like living in a bubble and then never being exposed to germs, and then you get sick all the time. But yeah, just I don't know whether or not to believe the president having COVID, but I think he actually does. But I also see why people might think he doesn't.
Yeah,
it would be a really smart thing to do.
You're right. But on the other hand, I mean, his wife had it.
Right.
And there's too many people that were around him that got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for those people to have it that were around him, for him not to get it would be, the number would be astronomical. You know what I mean? That he wouldn't get it.
I just don't think it's right to be pinning all these like lives lost on just one person. I mean, how do you expect one person to handle a pandemic?
No, you're right.
I mean, all these lives lost it's not his fault. It's not his fault that a virus appeared. I mean, this happens. We've seen it before. It happens with humans.
Yeah, and the thing is too is that it's good to play Monday morning quarterback, but when you look back and see how it started and how it progressed, and the science kept changing, and we weren't even prepared to deal with a virus like this, and what ended up happening. I mean, look, let's face it, every other week, things were changing. So I don't see how that can be the president's fault that we weren't prepared at the first day. And, I mean, I don't know. And then if he tried to do something in a state, like New York, the governor said that Article 10 gave the states the right. He couldn't overrule them. And I don't know, the whole thing, like you said, I agree with you. It's not one person's fault.
Right. I mean, if local governments, like maybe counties and towns, or I mean, even states, and states did what they wanted to do, and a lot of them didn't handle it right. But I mean, local governments could have decided to take their own precautions. I mean, you don't have to wait for the president to say to do something.
You're right. Cuomo didn't.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, he still blames him for all the deaths in New York, which is just crazy to me, especially after his nursing home policy.
Yeah.
But if anyone's going to be blaming anybody about deaths, then we should be blaming Cuomo for death.
You better believe it. And hopefully this will resonate. Well, you know who Biden said he may pick for his attorney general?
Oof.
Andrew Cuomo.
Really?
Yeah.
Scary.
Well, he was Attorney General for Obama for a few years. And then Holder, he went and ran for governor of New York. But, yeah, Biden said yesterday that Cuomo's on his list for attorney generals, which in a way, we get rid of him in New York.
Right.
And but then again, that means Biden would win, and I don't want that. So
right.
This is a weird year.
Oh, it is so strange. It's interesting to me to be living through this and just knowing that we are going through such a huge shift in life and in history, but we're seeing it day to day, and years from now, seeing all this written about, like, in history books and stuff like that, is it's going to be interesting to see the take and, like, all the takeaways from what's going on.
Exactly.
And just having been living through this and then to look back on it and be like, wow.
You know, one of the other things that I think is really important in this election, and we've talked about this a lot, is choice of education. And I, you know, we've got a president who isn't for choice and one who is. And so it's going to be interesting. And I'm disappointed that doesn't come up more than it does.
Right. School choice does not come up a lot.
No, it doesn't.
There's a European country, I can't remember which one it was. I want to say France, but I'm not confident that it was France. There's a European country recently banned homeschooling.
You're kidding.
Because a lot of people started homeschooling because of lockdowns on schools and stuff, and they're like, well, this is stupid. And now they're banning homeschooling.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm afraid that's going to happen here someday.
Yeah.
But I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this guy, Vin Amarni, I think is his last name, he was on there, and he was talking about how, you know, right now we're going through, like, a revolution. You know how we had the Industrial Revolution?
Yes.
And stuff like that. He goes, right now, what we're seeing is a revolution. And if you look through history, there's always chaos and death and lots of bad things and poverty and everything that goes on during a revolution. Like when you went from agricultural to industrial, that revolution, there was a lot of poverty, a lot of death, and a lot of bad stuff going on until it, like, it has to get worse for it to get better kind of thing. And he goes, right now we're going through, like, a technological revolution. We're moving away from industrial and moving into the age of technology.
Right.
And because I think that's what we're seeing right now. And it's scary to live through a revolution like that, honestly.
You're right. I mean, look at what drives the stock market now. It's tech companies, tech stocks. If they do well, if they do well, the Dow Jones does well. If they take a hit, then the stock market takes a hit. So, I mean, we're relying more on technology, which, in a way, I don't think is a good thing. I mean, it's
both good and bad. I mean, you got to be able to know how to live without it, because there's always a possibility that someday you won't have it.
Right.
But it's also good to be able to work with it.
Oh, definitely.
Because you need to, I mean, that's the way everything's going, so you got to know how to use it or else you're going to be lost in society. But
what scares me, though, is censorship on technology.
Yes.
That they can use censorship, and they're the ones that decide what they want to censor.
And yeah, Facebook just removed a libertarian group.
Crazy.
I think it was like, I want to say the Free Thought Project was censored, which they do a lot of good journalism, a lot of non-biased journalism, which is nice.
Yeah, well, see, that's what they don't want. They don't want people to put out anything against what the tech companies want. And I just feel that they should have some sort of regulation now. They're so big, they affect so much, and they monitor what people are saying on their platforms. And let's face it, there's three or four tech companies or businesses now that control pretty much everything on the internet. You know, you have Google and Facebook, YouTube, which is owned by Google. And, you know, it's just, and they can censor anything that is dissenting that they don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I never looked at it as thinking that we're going through like an era or an age revolution. But now that I sit down and think about it, it really makes sense.
Yeah, to me it does. I mean, they can shape the outcome of a lot of things by what they can control on their platforms. I mean, if Breitbart News had given an example, that they're, I think they're a conservative on paper or magazine or online newspaper, whatever. And 3 years ago, if you did a search on an article that they did and an article that the mainstream media did, and you typed that article in, they would show up in the top 25, you know, of the internet search. And a year and a half ago, if you typed in an article, they don't show up in the top 75, I think it is. So their algorithm, they changed their algorithm so that they don't show up if you type the article in, unless you type in Breitbart or whatever then that name is. And I think that is manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that that's right.
No. Got to find a different way to get news and media out there other than using these social media platforms.
Definitely. So, what other take do you have on the Supreme Court nominee? The first opening day is today.
Yes, so I'm probably going to spend a lot of time watching those the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
I think I realized why it's so important to a lot of people right now that are kind of in the loop with it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first I'm like, I just don't see this as important, so I haven't been following it really. A lot of people are saying that we are not going to have a clear winner on Election Day, right?
Correct.
So that might mean it might come down to the Supreme Court deciding who wins.
Correct.
So this appointment is pretty important to a lot of people because it could determine that result.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand why it's important. At first, everyone's talking about everyone's talking about Roe v. Wade, but I don't really think that's the
I don't think that's
important
a major
issue. It comes down to the election, definitely, because they're planning on not having a winner,
right?
Definitely. I see that coming. So I figured it out after listening to a lot of smart people on podcasts, and I was like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that is why it's so important. So now I know what to look for going into these hearings and stuff.
Sure. But do you know what the alternative is? The alternative is that if, let's say they didn't appoint one until after the new president was sworn in, and you couldn't decide who the winner was, and the Supreme Court was deadlocked at 4-4, then Congress would declare the winner, and Nancy Pelosi would be the leader of the Congress. So, and Congress has the majority, so you're looking at Nancy Pelosi running the show, and Congress would, if the Supreme Court can't decide, then it goes to Congress. So
it's so crazy to me that for all these people for the last 4 years who were so concerned about Russian interference in the election that never happened.
Right.
They seem to be wanting to interfere with this election.
I know.
It's like you're so worried about election meddling, but we're going to do everything you can to try to influence and interfere with this one.
Right. And how
I think
long
we should be more worried about United States interference.
Exactly. But and how long did they spend wasting money and time on Russian collusion, which now they're going to release Clinton's emails to show that, and it kind of shows that she's the one that started the Russian collusion theory. Mm-hmm. So it's really gotten to be, we're more of a third world country than we are a republic. And I think the way it's going and the way the country's polarized, and what would happen if we, you know, like if the Democrats get in and have the majority on everything and then they can control, you know, pretty much everything, and that there is probably an equal number of people that are against that. You know, we could see a revolution in this country. We could see, I think we could. I think we could see a civil war in this country. And
I don't know. I think maybe people would start succeeding.
I hope so. I mean, I don't know. My brother.
I think it might get down to that point.
I guess. I mean, my brother.
I don't think anybody really wants a war.
Oh, I don't think anybody does. I don't think anybody does. But I think, I mean, look what's happening with the cities having the riots and stuff. It's not about the people that get shot or bad police anymore. It's just about destruction and upheaval. And if that continues, I think people are going to get sick and tired of it. And there's going to be terrible things that are going to happen. And I'm mm-hmm. just afraid that if there's fuel to the fire, I mean, I'll give you an example. My brother, who is a strict Democrat and really doesn't like Trump at all, but he said to me that I have to say one thing and then I don't want to talk about him anymore, that he has done more for his 401k than anybody else that's been in office. And, you know, he's worked for 38 years. And he said, it's never grown as much as it has since he's been in office. So when you look at, I think that's why more people think of him as good for the economy. And maybe not on some other things, but he really did do well for the economy and jobs. And so we have to think of who do we want in office, one that's going to raise taxes and eliminate some of the gains that we made. I don't know. There's a lot at stake in this election. I honestly believe when they say this is one of the most important elections. I kind of agree with it.
Yeah, I know you hear that every year, but I think this year more than past recently.
You're right.
But we'll have to see.
Hey, 2 weeks from today, is it?
Yeah, it's coming up.
Two or three weeks from today, and then, you know, it might be a year and a half before we find out who wins, but... I don't know. It's going to be an interesting time, Shannon. So how is Noah doing with his homeschooling?
He's doing great with it.
Good.
And today's Columbus Day, and so all the schools have it off. So he didn't have to take it off, but I gave him the choice, and so he took the day off.
Good. You need some time off, you know. But
yeah.
Now, your school district Well, no, you're not in Hadley Luzerne anymore, but they've been doing strictly, what do you call it, teleconference teaching?
Virtual. Yeah, they closed down. I think they're open back up, though.
They open this week, do they?
I'm not really sure.
I have a child who's, I have a child whose mother, I take a child to school, whose mother's a teacher at Hadley Luzerne, and one day last week she said they were still distance learning, but I know like Balls and Spa was until the 5th of October, so maybe they're going to be opening, you know, maybe they're going to be opening soon, you know, so we'll see.
I'm just glad I don't have to deal with that.
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, there were three or four schools up there that closed for 10 days.
Because
there was a rise, and I don't know. It's kind of scary because we're coming into a flu season, but they were saying that more people wearing masks might mean more less people catching flu. So we'll see if that holds true. You never know.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all that I got for today.
Okay.
I'll have to watch these hearings and talk about that next time.
Yeah, because we'll know whether she was voted in or if some Republicans voted no and she didn't get voted in. So that'll be an interesting topic next week.
Yeah.
So, and I'm interested to hear her statement today and then her takes on Roe versus Wade, which I don't think is really an issue. It's pretty much a law. The Obamacare, I don't think that they can really vote Obamacare out and without having another plan. And right now they don't. So I don't see that as a big deal either.
I think
they that's used as a scare tactic, I think. Because
definitely.
I think there was that John Roberts, didn't he side with the liberal side of the court when they tried to end Obamacare? And
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, so there, you know, not every Supreme Court justice follows what you know, the president that nominated them, because George Bush had nominated a justice, and he ended up siding with the liberals all the time. I mean, he became a more liberal justice than he was before he was a Supreme Court justice. So that, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to vote strict. You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting, and we'll know more next week. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, listen, you have a great week.
You too.
All right. And we'll see you hopefully next week one day.
Yes. Hopefully I'll get in there next week.
Okay, Shannon. That'd be great. All right. So you take it easy.
Thanks. You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.